So before we read the verses this evening, I'd like for us to just think about what is a Christian? How do we know what a Christian is? How do you define a Christian? How do you recognize a Christian? I think most of us would turn to scriptures for the answers, but there's certainly been a lot of cases where I've heard people say they were Christians, but observe something very different. So what is it that makes us a Christian? Is someone who comes to church every Sunday morning a Christian? What if they come more than once a week? What if they come on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night? Does that make you a Christian? What if they're really good and come three times? Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. Does that make someone a Christian? Is that what a Christian is? I've spoken with many people that have claimed the name of Christian. I would suppose in my own judgment some were and some weren't. So as we look at ourselves, can we say what makes us Christian? We'll read some verses here from Romans chapter 12 that describe a little bit better what a Christian is. You see, it's more than just coming to church. You might see someone on Sunday and think they're a Christian, and see that same person on a Friday night and think differently. But as we read here in Romans 12, let's look at Romans 12 beginning in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So here we see a whole list of things. Let's go back to verse 9 and take a look at it a little more closely. Let love be without hypocrisy. When we love one another and care for each other, there is no hypocrisy in that. Right is right, and wrong is wrong, and God does not change, regardless of who has said or done something. There is no favoritism. There's only love and the hope that we can all be in heaven one day. Abhor what is evil. I looked up the word abhor. It means to utterly detest. It makes us sick. We don't want anything to do with evil. And beyond that, cling to what is good. We hold on to the good. We won't let go of it. Be kindly, affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. We're kind to each other, affectionate to each other. We show this brotherly love towards each other because we have this common goal. We give preference to one another. We prefer to be with other Christians than with any others, because we have this common goal, because we all abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. not lagging in diligence. We're consistent. We don't stop. We don't get tired of being kind and affectionate to one another. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We always serve the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. We can rejoice in our hope. When we're following God's word and doing what we can to be pleasing to Him, we have hope. We can look forward to that day that we can one day be with Him, and we can rejoice in that. We can be patient in tribulation because we know eternity is waiting for us. So the problems of this life, of this world, we can have patience with because we know it's just for a short time. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. When this life does become too much for us, we can pray. We can continue in prayer. We can pray for our brethren. We can pray for ourselves. We can pray that we are pleasing to God. Distributing to the needs of the saints and giving to hospitality. You see, we don't just say we love each other, but we show it. When someone has a need, we take care of that. We all pitch in. And I've seen it time and time again here where people have needs and those needs are met by multiple people here, multiple members. And it's important that we do that. And given to hospitality. You see, being a Christian is more than just saying I'm a Christian. And being a Christian is more than just showing up at this building. It's living a life that's pleasing to God and doing the things that He would have us to do. We see here in Romans this list that's given to us. This morning we talked about a little bit the fruits of the Spirit. It's all these things that make a Christian, and not just the things we say, but things we do, how we treat each other, not just on Sunday, but every day. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this time that You've given us. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for Your word, that we have it, that we can study, and that we can learn what is pleasing to You. Help us, Heavenly Father, to continue to grow in knowledge and wisdom of Your word. Help us, Lord, to do the things that are right and pleasing to You. Help us, Heavenly Father, to truly cling to the things that are good and to abhor the things that are evil. Help us, Lord, to look for that opportunity that we might show brotherly love and kindness to one another, that we might meet the needs of someone that is hurting. Help us, Heavenly Father, to work together to further Your will. And we pray, Lord, that we will continually come to You in prayer and continually rely on You and Your word to guide us through this life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil, but regard for good things in the sight of all men. Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 17. Leading up to this moment, I had the opportunity to read this verse many times. And as I read it and as I tried to live it out as best as I could over these weeks, I realized that what I was reading was the guide to be a true Christian friend. It is not some great adventure. It's not a battle over some Philistines, or it's not being martyred upon a tree. It is simply routine living. The kind of thing that we do every day to keep us close to God and make sure others view us favorably. That being said, I'm going to that first part. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. This is quite different from what the world says. It's quite different from what we're told by some various people saying, don't let anyone get you down, or you take what's yours, perhaps don't let them see you cry. But Christ says many different things. He says, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the righteous. Now it's not often that you hear these words, bless those who persecute you. Some would say it's the golden rule, not to do unto others as you would not have them do unto you. But I've never really heard a story where something like this was done by a Christian. Anytime it's done by someone else of another faith, it almost seems like a mimicry. For instance, I read the story of a woman who had to go through the perils of Nazi Germany. I think her name was Cor ten Boom. She suffered so greatly in a concentration camp, working so close to death. Her sister actually dying. She ended up living. Afterwards, she had the opportunity to meet her Nazi officer that worked her day by day, made her suffer so much. Well, she looked him in the eye. She shook his hand and forgave him. I really don't see how anyone apart from Christ could do that. It's about conquering anger and being free from the sin that that brings. Because as we're slaves to sin, we must take that away, turn slaves to Christ. The next part is like it. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. It is important that we be a friend to you at all. It is important that we see people celebrating for their things. And we try to live out those things with them. To be there with them. This could be difficult. It could also be difficult to weep with them. Because as we see them weeping, we think we want to cheer them up. But this is not so. The proverbs say, like vinegar on teeth, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Oftentimes, it's probably best to go along and to give the shoulder to cry on as they struggle. I think verse 16 is my favorite, though. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. It is so, so easy to fall into the trap of taking what you might think of someone and raising that above God, but it is God that should be our focus when we deal with anything. And especially when we deal with each other, when we're around each other. We must have each one as a fellow brother and sister in Christ. To associate with the humble. That's interesting. You might want to live a life of luxury. It's a vain endeavor. because the lowly is chosen by God. Chosen the weak things, the things that are not. Bring to nothing the things that are. So, when we humble ourselves before God, before others, we then make ourselves more likely to focus on Him and His will. In the last verse, we pay no one evil for evil, but regard for good things in the sight of all men. This, too, is an excellent saying. The golden rule again, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's the law and the prophets. And having regard for good things reminded me of the eye being the light of the body. How when you focus on dark things, your mind towards dark, your mind turns towards darkness. It can be very soul-crushing. I remember I read something about C.S. Lewis when he wrote his Screwtape letters, letters that were from the perspective of demons trying to tempt a soul, that every time he would write one, he would feel this weight on him, a heaviness that was not natural. And so it is so very important to focus on those things which are good, to focus on each other, to help each other, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray. Our God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the time that we have to spend together. We thank you for each and every one of us that we have to help us to grow and lift up towards you. We may not stray. Lord, keep us on the right path. Lead us not through temptation. We ask that you be with each one of us as we struggle through this life, whether alone or together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I think my favorite movies are of the genre of, I guess, historical action movies. I guess we call them that. Setting is like 100 years ago, or maybe it's several hundred years ago, and there's a man, he's got a family and a home, and he's worked hard for that home and his property, and he lives peacefully, and then all of a sudden, a bad guy or a group of men or a villain just come in and attack him or his family, and often, his wife or his children are abducted or hurt or killed. And so then this good guy, he spends his life training and becomes a warrior so that he can exact his vengeance on those attackers. So the whole movie kind of plays that out. Justice or revenge is a dish best served cold kind of idea. The good guy, you know, he's attacked, and so he has to make things right, an eye for an eye. I can think of five movies like immediately that have that same premise, and there are probably thousands that appeal to us. And I know I'm not the only one. You know, why are we created like that, to have a sense of fairness and equity? Well, these Romans, these verses here in Romans 12 are not telling us to do that at all. They're telling us the opposite. So that's what makes this passage difficult. I'm gonna handle the last three verses, or 18 through 21. Let's look at those, read those. Romans 12, 18 through 21. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So these verses are obviously found in the midst of trouble. Verse 17, right before this passage, says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. And verse 19, as we just read, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. Evil, revenge, paybacks, wrath, things that were stirred up, and the saints of God here were troubled. Someone has hurt them. And Jesus wants the golden rule. Of course, we want judgment. So if you want to ignore these verses and you want to imagine the Good Samaritan story, and you want to make it a blockbuster movie, at least in our culture, here's what I would do. After the caring Samaritan had compassion on a Jew who was left half dead on the side of the road, after that Jew recovers in the inn, then he would train in some martial arts and lift weights. He would train like 7 days a week for like a full year until he was this deadly fighting machine, right? And then every day he would be motivated and reminded of what the robbers did to him and the injustice, and he would replay that in his mind. And then the Jewish man would track down the band of robbers and attack him. He would find the head of that criminal organization and take him out and take the money, return some to the Good Samaritan, and he would take and spend the rest of his life beating up robbers and taking them and tying them up, leaving them by the jail for immediate punishment. And that would be a good movie. But the focus of that parable in this passage is the opposite, right? It's not on justice. And so this passage reminds us of what Christians are supposed to do. It marks of a true Christian, as Cannon has mentioned it. You can pull out several nuggets from this passage, or these passages. I picked out several good ones in verse 18. First, it says in verse 18, if possible. And that's conditional, if possible. Even the writer here in Romans admits that sometimes it's not possible. Apparently, Russia is not interested in peace. They want Ukraine. Hitler was not interested in peace. So wars happen and fights take place. Friendships end. And the reason is some are not interested in doing what's right. Some don't want peace. Some want war. Some want their way. So I like that disclaimer. If possible is the first disclaimer. Second little nugget I pulled out of 18. So far as it depends on you. That kind of puts you as the Christian in the driver's seat. Rather than pointing our finger at the other person and saying, well, I'm just treating them the way they're treating me. We have to take the lead, as far as it depends on you. You can have peace. Have it. Third little point, live peaceably with all. So, to put this into practical application, I'm going to let certain things slide without a response, without a comment or rebuttal. You know, you can engage in every little skirmish that comes your way, but you could lose the war. You can lose your reputation or even your good influence. You may not be even considered a gentle person or having a kind heart as the Lord wants. And in the end, you could lose your soul based on your temperament. Live peaceably with all. So there'll be things that people say, even brethren, and you and I will let it go. We live according to this passage as a true Christian. It's not the time, it's not the place, and we won't result in peace, because that's our goal here. And probably it doesn't matter in the big scheme of things. Yes, there's a time to draw a line in the sand and let the chips fall, because we stand with the Lord, but I don't think that's the context here. And so sometimes people say things that maybe irritate you. Sometimes they're even outside the Bible, right? And you have to learn to live peaceably with all. Peacemakers. Tough role to play as a Christian. Killing with kindness is one of the other points that's made here. If possible, as far as it depends on you, this is the great challenge God puts before us. So in summary, from this passage, these verses, leave it to God. Kill people with kindness, do good, learn to squash evil responses, learn to be patient and kind, even in hostile environments. These are marks of true Christians. In Romans chapter 12, if you're not a Christian, Romans 6 talks in plain English how to get into Christ, to be buried in Christ's death with him, wash away your sins, and become a new creature. A new creature, someone who's transformed, as the beginning of this chapter 12 talks about. Living a Christian life and doing the things that we talked about tonight in this very difficult passage. Believe it or not, these things will make an impression on people. Right? These things will make you different. Please come forward if you need to get right with God, and we'll assist you in any way as we sing the song of encouragement.